Blog Talk Radio. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're back again. Yes, back again. And I wish a blessed Passover to all. May the things that the Most High grants us be the fullness of what He desires in His wisdom, that the things that we do might be found worthy and acceptable unto Him. May the Most High take a liking. May He show His favor in all things that we do in this time together and be done together as a people. For there must come cooperation, my brothers and sisters. There must come a mutual understanding. In fact, my brothers and sisters, the greatest gift the Most High can give is a law by which His people may again learn how to cooperate, love, and trust. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who understand that we must be His workmanship. Who understand that all Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is worthy for reproof and doctrine, that the believer, those who believe, might be found true unto Him, even true unto Yah, unto all good works. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who understand that in this very precious time we call Passover and the days of unleavened bread, we must keep a feast. Yes, indeed, we are commanded, we must keep a feast. Opening our hearts, that we be an acceptable offering to the Most High, seeking the fullness of all that is His divine will as an offering, renewed, even unto the full renewing of our minds, worthy and acceptable unto Him. We must understand, yes, indeed, we must understand, that unto whose law we yield ourselves to obey, His servants we are. Therefore, we must understand that since light does not deny light, truth and reason does not deny reason, we must understand, my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed, we must understand that if we are to be in all things unto divine glory, and what the Most High calls a holy day, we must seek in all things to reason together. We must seek to come in one accord. We all, as the Scripture says in Zephaniah 3:13, must anticipate the day that we all speak no lies. None victimized after false doctrine, doing no iniquity, seeking all that is divine justice. In fact, my brothers and sisters, seeking the day that within and without there is none to dissuade or harm among us. This would be indeed then, my brothers and sisters, the Passover unto the Most High with which He would find utmost acceptable. My brothers and sisters, Again, my brothers and sisters, this is Adam Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity, yes, indeed, to be back with you again, here again, to speak these very, very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. I welcome you all to the show. Thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me, that I have for Him some very important things to do. Yes, He has commissioned that I have for Him, for His cause and His purpose, some very important things to do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said to me that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me, my brothers and sisters, that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. And for that, I can only be utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert. And if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. We must consider, my brothers and sisters, that through the course of ages, how has man been denied salvation? In fact, my brothers and sisters, how has man, through the course of ages, been denied deliverance and kept in darkness? What does the scripture say? They say in the beginning, it declared, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures declare that from the beginning has the Most High declared his word, his plan, his purpose, his reasoning. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us the salvation not after the conceits, the works, the designs, after the course and the thoughts of men, but we are to be his workmanship, even the workmanship of the Most High. His workmanship, my brothers and sisters. According to all good works which Yah has declared from the very beginning. How have men been kept in bondage? Men have allowed men, do you hear me, my brothers and sisters, to blind them, not to discern the fullness of what the Most High for mankind has declared. Men have allowed men to tell men what is their purpose. And many of my brothers and sisters seeking to find purpose have sought men rather than Yah himself to discern what is their purpose, to be found viable unto divine plan, unto what indeed is the kingdom of Yah. Think about it. In the book of Romans, it says, to he whom you yield yourselves to obey, his servant Jah, whether it be unto obedience to Yah and unto righteousness, or even, my brothers and sisters, ultimately, unto sin, even unto death. We must discern, my brothers and sisters, what the scriptures are telling us. The book of Romans, Apostle Shaul related the same thing, in effect, that is written in Revelation 22, that a man shall be rewarded as his works shall be. In other words, whether what man does is found in all things complete and acceptable unto Yah, it shall be decided, my brothers and sisters, whether that man in his conscience is found worthy unto a kingdom of peace. Think about it. If we live in a world, and we do, where in every nation, in every denomination, people want to sit back and say in so many ways that if they don't teach a certain thing, it's not necessary. They've compelled men to believe that if there's certain truths they don't know after having been under certain allegiances, these things are not important unto divine plan. Yes, my brothers and sisters, they've told you, even though the scriptures say that Messiah must come for the restitution and restoration of all things, for the times of refreshing, according to all the Most High spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since world began, and that whoever will not hearken to that prophet, that fullness of testimony will be cut off from among the people, even though Messiah said your righteous must exceed that of your rulers in the multitude of their contentions, their self-righteousnesses, and denial of so much that's contained in the law and the prophets. Even though the scriptures have said this to us again and again, men blinded by what they see, the variant standards that they see, the contentions, the double-mindedness that they see, have walked after the patterns, my brothers and sisters, of warfare, rather than understanding that purity and completion offers but one choice. Men have looked to men, my brothers and sisters, for a sense of purpose. But it is Yah who made man. It is Yah who created heaven and earth. How then, my brothers and sisters, shall man say that according to the variant standards after which men have divided and created so much contentions and adversarial differences in this world, how shall men say that after the variant plans, purposes, as it seemed wise to men, men who so often as rulers, like I said, have sought to divide this world, not relating what is divine purpose, but seeking that men be victimized as servants unto the purposes of those who would tell you that as citizens they have a right to rule over you. How many of my brothers and sisters have looked to men to discern the sense of identity, the sense of purpose? Think about it. Shall men call upon the name of the Most High? Having not heard directly from him what his plan and purpose, and their vow unto him be true? I remember when the Apostle Shaul, we talked about this last night, talked about how men had the law, but did not seek it by faith, not realizing that the greatest understanding of these words is not after the designs or the short-sighted vision of men. It's about Romans 9:26. Had the law, but didn't seek it by faith, didn't seek it beyond the controversies of men. Did not seek it discerning the need to seek beyond the controversies of men. Abraham was not told to walk after men to attain righteousness. Most High told him directly, walk before Yah, seek the fullness of his will. What is righteousness in his presence? And he said his children will be a blessing to all nations. Our brothers and sisters, have we, true to the Abrahamic covenant, in all things sought to be what is right and righteous before Yah? Or have men sought to be found acceptable after what? 280 nations in this world? 45,000 and counting denominations? My brothers and sisters, Yah made heaven and earth. It is he that shall decide who is worthy. And my brothers and sisters, man will be judged according to the fullness of pure and perfect word of the Most High. For the scriptures tell us, for instance, in Revelation 3rd chapter, they say we must seek the perfect works of Yah, lest the Most High come against us with the sword of his mouth. For he will discern the thoughts and intents of the hearts, not after an imperfect, impure, incomplete word, but whether man seeks to be true to the Most High in all things. For when man feels himself wise after what he calls man in his shallow conscience calls good, and many people have different ideas of what that is according to what they see as purpose. When men, my brothers and sisters, seek to define goodness after what seems wise after their own hearts, have they been in all things true to the much more grand and magnificent vision as to what the Most High knows is the potential for man to give glory to unto Yah in this earth? If only men will in all things seek to hearken to him. Blessed, my brothers and sisters, again, are those who realize that it's he who made man who decides whether or not man has become mature. Mature even as what the Most High calls Most High calls man. Is man, my brothers and sisters, to be a being that decides his own will, worth, plan in the grand, magnificent, divine scheme of things? Or is man, my brothers and sisters, to seek the Most High, to discern what is viable unto divine plan. We talk about these things often on this show. Isaiah, for instance, in the 41st chapter, speaks about those things that the rulers will not speak. The scriptures speak about the gospel of the kingdom of the Most High, the sure fullness of the word of the Most High. That so often the rulers, the scriptures said in advance, would not speak. Why? Scripture says they would not speak these things. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? They would not speak these things because according to, if you compare Isaiah 41, Malachi 2nd through 4th chapter, some of the ways the scripture relates that men would not speak entirely concerning these things because their preoccupation has not been what is wholly true under the kingdom of Yah. But my brothers and sisters, what's necessary they feel to preserve their thrones. And that means that men have been inclined even to lie against the Most High himself. Denying men the knowledge of the Most High himself, keeping men in the darkness, that they maintain their own thrones, maintain their supposed authority, robber authority over the souls of men. And the end result of this, my brothers and sisters, is that men, I said men, rulers among men, in nations, contentions against one another, compel the people, even the people of Yah, to go to war one against another, to contend one against another, not to speak as the scriptures say. In 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 11, not to speak fully true unto his name, for the scripture said in his name we must all speak the same thing. No divisions among us. Scripture even goes forth and says in the 3rd chapter of 1 Corinthians, if there's strife and divisions among us, differences of opinion, debate, doubt, unsurety with regard to what is divine command. Scripture says we still yet walk as worldly men, but my brothers and sisters, Israel is called the people of the Most High Yah. Shall we continue? Do we dare think that we should continue in these contentions and yet have peace? That we should yet, still in spite of all our differences, be called one in the Most High? Israel is called the people of the Most High. It is sin whenever divisions of any kind, a difference of opinion, exist among us. And my brothers and sisters, to escape this Babylon, this sin, did you hear, my brothers and sisters? We must overcome. I've spoken about it often on this show. Yes, I spoke often on this show about this truth. That it tells us, we are told in the book of Yaakov, called James. They called James. If we be scattered as a people, diaspora, among the provocations of the nations. Understand, it's a provocation that even the multitude of nations exist. Did you hear me? Earth belongs to Yah and the fullness thereof. Most High told me that no man has a right to rule but by him. He said we exist among a multitude of diverse nations, provocative against the will of the Most High, lacking knowledge. Lacking what is true knowledge, believe me. The divisions that exist among us are not because of wisdom, because of the lack thereof. My people are destroyed, divided, contentious, gullible even. For lack of knowledge. One scripture says, not knowing the righteousness of Yah, not knowing indeed what is the will of the king, the men have sought to establish their own righteousness to comfort themselves. The apostle Shaul said, my greatest desire for Israel, they might be saved. Speaking the Shema, he said in context, his greatest prayer, desire. He was praying the Shema, my brothers and sisters. Israel might be safer. As Yah is one, so must be his people. As Yah is one, so must we all love him with all our minds, heart, soul, and might, all that is his will. We must, like Abraham, understand that if we seek the perfect will of Yah, that is our blessing, that is our salvation, nothing less. Shall men say that if they seek the unrighteousness or to be pleasing unto the Most High after the designs of another, that we have not blasphemed and insulted his name. Blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who understand what the scriptures mean when Messiah is spoken of Messiah. Blessed are they who wait for him. They may renew, that we as a people might be renewed into our ancient strength, no longer polluted, no longer divided after the various standards of the nations. What does the scripture say again in the book of Yaakov? We're divided, my brothers and sisters, scattered among the Gentiles, among the multitude of nations, confused in their differences. Yes, I said confused. I did not say one. I did not say blessed in their differences. There's no blessing in a multitude of contentious, argumentative differences. Certainly that's not worthy unto the Most High, nor does it give him glory. So we scattered among the nations, amongst the multitude of provocations, even temptations, so often to comply with these multitude of differences. Say, we are forewarned that our perseverance and our faith in the Most High must bring forth a perfect work. How shall our faith bring forth a perfect work? We must know, as Abraham did, not to seek after the standards of men, but seek fully what is the will of Yah. Even the truth that the rulers of this earth have long fallen away from, we must remember the truth. Come to the remembrance of the truth. Petition the Most High by His Spirit for the remembrance of all things, that we might discern the rebuke of all errant, fallen, partial, and imperfect standards, because purity and completion offers one choice. Such is the nature of the gospel, which I say all power from on high has been given unto him. I say from on high. His authority, my brothers and sisters, his tutelage, his discipleship, as the son of Yah, from on high, not of men, not after the diversitudes of men, but after the pure, perfect will of Yah. He said, go forth, therefore, and teach all nations everything he commanded. What did the Abrahamic covenant say? We must seek his perfect will. That would be our salvation. He said, go forth and teach all nations everything he commanded. Baptizing. How about washing men pure, clean? Even discerning the need to transcend the unrighteous, imperfect, incomplete, impure, variant standards of the nations. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what the Most High said will bring an end to this age of confusion. Blessed are they who will understand. So much prophecy relates again and again, my brothers and sisters, that man must prepare himself to exceed, overcome, transcend, gain victory beyond all those who teach the impurity of lies, half-truths that leave men, my brothers and sisters, still yet gullible. Must overcome the impurity of every lie that blinds the mind not to be able to discern the greater truth. In fact, my brothers and sisters, the children of light must come to love the greater light of the Most High, even the light of truth that exposes all the darkness and all those who withhold the truth and unrighteousness, who has unjustly suppressed the truth. Must seek the light, my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed, that reveals what men for a long time have not seen. For woe to those, my brothers and sisters, who look to man. I said, woe to those, my brothers and sisters, who look to men, who have dared to say in so many ways to men after a multitude of fallen standards that they have not needed what the scriptures call in so many ways utmost critical truth, that a man be fully furnished unto all good works, that a man be made whole. But my brothers and sisters, the salvation of man, the victory, in fact, is yet in man coming to comprehend those things that the variant rulers of this world have dared not to tell. So the scriptures tell us well again in Romans, in the 10th chapter, faith, saving faith, even the capacity to call upon the holy name in truth is a gift that comes from above. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing a word from Yah. I would pray that men should understand. It says all who call upon the name of the Most High should be delivered in Romans 10, but believe me, Joel 2:32, from whence that scripture came, must be given consideration If you're looking back, you find they broke the scrolls there. Ha-ha. Hmm. Need to consider that. It says, it's going to pass in the last days, all who call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. But it said in Jerusalem, in the city of peace, are people worthy unto a city of peace? It says, and in Jerusalem, unto Jerusalem, shall be man's deliverance, shall be the place of deliverance from all, let's just say, impurity, incompletion. Here, Jerusalem means the city of peace, completion, oneness in the Most High. It said, in Jerusalem shall be delivered to a remnant whom the Most High has called. There's a reason why the Apostle Shaul said, how shall we call upon him in truth who we have not heard? If we have not heard from him, so easy, my brothers and sisters, do men presume to know the righteousness of Yah. So easily do men seek to establish their own righteousness. Hey, call him by the name of the Most High, blaspheming his name, but not submitting to the righteousness of Yah. Call him upon his name, but according to a contract and a covenant, it is not, true to what the Most High will call acceptable. Think about it. Revelation 7th chapter talks about those whom the Most High will sign, children of Israel, that he will sign his name upon their brows. Meaning that he has been the one who has written his law upon the minds and hearts. The men discern beyond the various standards of the nations that they be his people. Did he say, my brothers and sisters, that those taught by the nations, taught by the variant rulers, hey, 45,000 denominations. I can think of a city here in this United States. Some 40-odd differing groups in there. Well, first off, we call them, themselves Hebrews. And many others, my brothers and sisters, that are caught off in all times kinds of Afrocentricities. That, my brothers and sisters, it is obvious that in their differences as businesses, I said businesses more than instruments unto the awakening of the mind, they're still contentious against one another, though many of them call themselves Israel. Many of them would say that they are not Gentile. My brothers and sisters, as a man thinketh, so is he. And there are many of my brothers and sisters who, is because they think like those who consider themselves wise, in a multitude of differences, refusing to recognize how much they've exalted themselves and what they don't know. The end result, my brothers and sisters, can never be deliverance. The end result of this can never be salvation. The end result of this can never be agreement or covenant with the Most High. And the people, my brothers and sisters, who cannot agree, cannot be the light of the world. So we must ask the question, why in Revelation it says only 144,000? My brothers and sisters, many more than 144,000. Some people with their indiscriminate definitions would say are Hebrews. Why is it that 144,000, my brothers and sisters, at first, are those who call, the Most High said, are they who awaken? I think about how those scriptures talk about in Isaiah 43. Bring forth the blind who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Many of my brothers and sisters, the reason why we see so many differences among us is because of so much blindness. Did you not hear me? The scripture says Messiah comes for the restitution of all things, the times of refreshing and the restitution of all things. According to all the Most High spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began. How many understand that the prophet, just being able to quote the words of the prophets by rote, Isaiah 1:29 speaks of this. Just being able to quote what the prophet said by rote and not understand the deeper meaning. Well, to know what's said and not know why it is said and how all things the Most High has said work together is still yet in so many ways to miss the point. And I promise you, my brothers and sisters, that is the very errant pride, destructive pride, that has prevented all Israel from being the people that we must become. Scripture says, when Messiah appears, he will turn on all ungodliness. from his people. He will convert his people from all the ungodliness, even all the ungodliness of the nations who have compelled men to consider themselves wise after their own estimation, after their own conceits, holding men in bondage, not realizing that just simply calling yourself an Israelite does not open your mind fully. Let the Most High be your guide to discern the way truly out from the midst of Babylon. I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of folks carrying a whole lot of different titles, calling themselves believers, calling themselves Israelites, calling themselves Hebrews. But quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, because they refuse the greater truth, will not be found worthy. Many of they before, my brothers and sisters, who called themselves Israel. But did they all escape what was the destruction? Did they all escape what was the destruction of Jerusalem? Nearly some 2,000 years ago? My brothers and sisters, we must discern, I promise you, we must discern what indeed is the pure and perfect will of Yah. Beyond all the misgivings that men have sought to exalt, did you hear me? What the scriptures say in Zephaniah 3:13, that the remnant of Israel must speak no lies, must do no iniquity. There should be none in the midst who dissuade or harm the sanctity and the firmity of a holy word within or without. And that, my brothers and sisters, will be our ultimate peace. Who's ready to understand? This being the times, the Passover, the Most High, a lot I want to talk about tonight, because without question, we must understand the real meaning of the scriptures the Messiah spoke of. How about in Luke 17:26-18:8? I'd like to look at that tonight. We always talk about the idea about next year. Many of us who say we keep Passover say next year in Jerusalem. Well, there must be an anticipation in our hearts of what is necessary, my brothers and sisters, for that to be. Luke 17:26-18:18. There's a mist of it. The scripture that says it this way: as it was in the days of Lot and Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. What did Lot do, my brothers and sisters? What did Noah do? I want to look at that tonight. I would tell you that just as Lot warned the people just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, so also did Noah warn the people before came the imminent destruction of a world. And in both cases, my brothers and sisters, it occurred because of the mass corruption in the hearts of men, as the scripture said in Genesis 6:5-6. It talks about how men, did you hear me? It talks about how men, their thoughts have become corrupt, evil, continually. Hey, men believing lies, men believing the compromise of their own hearts, seeking to be found acceptable after their own estimation, when the Most High sought to show so much more. Men, evil in their thoughts, hard-hearted in their thoughts, unwilling to see the truth continually. Scripture says, for this reason, Most High brought forth the flood. Well, if we read the scriptures closely, in Genesis 19, concerning what occurred before the fall of Sodom, Gomorrah, because of the wickedness of men's ways and thoughts, the Most High brought about the destruction of that wicked city. Well, my brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that whether men want to open their minds to see it or not, it is wickedness whenever men establish standards, even with their best of intentions. It is still wickedness, still lawlessness, if men seek to establish as wise what simply seems acceptable in their own hearts. Believe me, there's a lot of pastors out there, as I've said it before, who have told me straight out that to them it's not about what the Bible has to say. It's about them learning a profession, presiding over their various congregations. If people are willing to buy the short-sightedness that they're willing to teach, they are willing to sell it. What does Scripture say? We must be complete unto Yah, unto all good works. Who is it, again, my brothers and sisters, that decides what the Most High, what the Most High will accept as good? Is it a multitude of different rulers who exalt themselves according to what seems wise, according to their purpose, or what it is that fulfills divine purpose? I want to talk about this a little bit tonight before our time is up. Remember Isaiah 41 says the Messiah is going to ultimately, and according to Isaiah 41, 41, 21 through 42, 4, is going to chasten the rulers and the kings. Ultimately, what it really means, my brothers and sisters, is that they will have to show by their arguments, by their testimony, that they have a reason, that there is reason why they should continue to be. But same here, my brothers and sisters, whatever challenges what is true divine righteousness, godliness, if you will, my brothers and sisters, a challenge against peace. Scriptures talk about a people following after the rulers because they did not discern what the Most High declared from the beginning. They trusted in the multitude of diverse standards that men have declared later. They didn't discern even what the Most High declared from the beginning as purpose, nor what is eventuality. Would not see the error of their present ways in this present age. And the end result, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says the kings, in order for the people to be delivered, will be trodden down like martyr. As a potter treads clay, Most High must expose all the differences of opinion that seem wise to men. You need to ask the question why your rulers have not told you everything that's contained in the scripture that's to be expected with regard to the coming. Without regard, my brothers and sisters, to the coming, the appearance of the Messiah, what should be the desire of your heart? I will only tell you, my brothers and sisters, to escape the coming destruction, man must exceed all that is worldly corruption. I'd like to look tonight at, let's start with Genesis. Genesis 19th chapter. I want to move to some of this swiftly. Take it through the words of the prophets. And then move forward to what Messiah himself said and what his apostles wrote. Remember in Romans 15, what did Apostle Shaul say in that regard? Ultimately said, whatever is written of old is for our learning, that we through patience and faith in the scriptures might have hope. There's a lot of things, my brothers and sisters, that's written in the words written of old. That because men have not given them full consideration, there's many innuendos, sometimes two or three word phrases that entirely escape connection in the minds. They go right by people, like somebody said, right over people's heads. These concepts do. Because there's not affirmity in the minds and hearts regarding all things the Most High unto his people has recorded. But what does the scripture say? Messiah will bring to mind concerning all things spoken by the prophets since the world began. That we, looking at things, these things collectively, knowing that everything that a prophet said is not necessarily contained in his own book, we might see the reality. In fact, my brothers and sisters might see the light that cast out all the darkness. We might, my brothers and sisters, see the light. Yes, indeed. The light, my brothers and sisters. that no one that is truly of light can deny. We must discern the word, my brothers and sisters, that discerns the thoughts and intents of every heart. Genesis 19. He said, and there came two angels to Sodom at the evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in. In other words, come with me, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night. Sounds so familiar. And wash your feet. You shall rise up early and go on your ways. I think some of you are starting to pick up what actually occurred in the time of Passover, over the course of that night. Rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Some of them said. Well, two angels said. But he pressed on them greatly. He pursued them. They made company with him. And they turned in unto him. Or they came into his house and entered into his house. And he made them a feast. Hear me. And did bake unleavened bread. And they did eat. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both young, old, and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men? Shameful. Shameful, my brothers and sisters. Where are the men which came in to thee, to thy house this night? Bring them out to us as we may know them. So much wickedness, my brothers and sisters. The kind of licentiousness that is spoken about here, the wickedness that is spoken about here, is vast sexual immorality. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not do so wickedly. Oh, I see so much wickedness, my brothers and sisters. And things that society is called permissive today. Such shame. Behold, now I have two daughters. This is... Oh, heaven help us. Behold, I have two daughters, but have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you as is good in your eyes, only unto these men. These central and the Most High do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Such a shame, my brothers and sisters, that such a proposition would be made. And they said, stand back. Two angels said, stand back. And they said again. And they said, stand back. Or the wicked said, stand back. Concerning the two angels. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. In other words, because Lot would not surrender to their immediate demands, they sought to all the more do harm to righteous Lot. I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, in the book of wisdom, Wisdom of Solomon, 10 and 6 in particular, you're talking about righteousness delivered, righteous Lot from the five cities. Sodom, Admah, Zeboiim, and Zoar were one city metroplex, but wicked, my brothers and sisters, wicked. Lawless, refusing to accept righteousness of Yah. I said wisdom, righteousness. It is wise, my brothers and sisters, hear me, to seek the fullness of the Most High, the will of the Most High. For the Most High told me directly, greatest wisdom is not what people think they know. What they don't know. Ah, so there's a greater righteousness, a greater consummate knowledge of divine will than what is ordinary. See, the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving consideration to all things the Most High declared, is not wisdom. How about also not righteousness at all? Shall a man consider himself wise? Refusing to give consideration to all the Most High declared, and still says the Most High that they call master? Think about it. Romans, 2nd chapter. Says, he who dies without the law perishes without the law. Who dies perishes without the sense of what is divine order. Do you have divine order when everybody wants to pick and choose according to their own designs, works according to their own purpose, their own allegiances, ambitions? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. How about the wages of differences? Wrought of incomplete standards. He didn't say there would be life. Messiah's going to judge according to all righteousness, according to all the Most High spoken by his prophets since the world began. Heaven help us. Talk about two angels. When these wicked men sought to break the door, they say, but the men, the two angels, put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house unto them and shut the door. Shut the door that the others could not enter. They smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves even to find the door. Wow. How many have been wearied, my brothers and sisters, blinded, they couldn't see the door to escape the madness we see in the world today? The men said unto Lot, the men said, hast thou any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatever, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place? The angel said unto Lot, hast thou any besides thee? You have a son-in-law, thy sons and thy daughters, whoever it is thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. In other words, what are you doing living here in this insanity? Oh yes, the Most High, would you deliver his people from the ways of wickedness, they might walk and have a chance to walk in righteousness. What did the Most High send his angels ultimately to say concerning that wicked city? Say, we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing, the wicked cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Most High. The Most High sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and says, up, get you out of this place, for the Most High will destroy this city. To marry his daughter. The Most High would destroy this city. But he seemed, some didn't believe so quickly, did they? Seemed one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. But when the morning rose, rising the sun, when the angels hastened, Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. Lot's wife, his daughters, then followed. While he lingered, a man laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, upon the hand of his two daughters, Most High being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and led him out of the city. What happened to the two who didn't believe? It came to pass that when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Seek no remembrance of the wickedness under which you have escaped. He's saying to them, don't tarry. Think so much how this parallels coming out of Egypt. Don't tarry. Don't look back. Pharaoh may well be in pursuit. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou all in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant, if he's found grace in thy sight. And thou hast magnified thy mercy, kindness, which thou hast showed unto me and saved my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near. There's a city near to flee unto. And it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing, also that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Hasten thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Till you get there. Therefore, the name of that city was called Soar. Is there other prophecy in the scripture that relate to this parallel? That to know this thing, only then, with these prophecies, this statement, or that prophecy, make sense? He said, the sun was risen upon the earth. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. The Most High rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Most High out of heaven. Some of you might know Luke 17 says something various of a great similitude. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. Right now, I think, though there's much more here to be said, I'd like to carry this now forward to talk about those prophecies. I'm looking at the time that's available. I've already presented to you Isaiah 19. Believe me, there are warnings against turning back. Many of you know what happened to Lot's wife. When she turned back, the scripture says she became a pillar of salt. How many know that that area that is spoken of there is like a pillar of salt to this very day? Isaiah 15th chapter. I said Isaiah 15th chapter. More to be said. A lot to be said. Little time. May Yah grant us the opportunity to make the point that need to be made. Remember what I told you? Say the greatest wisdom is not what people know, what they think they know. Greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. For men, considering themselves wise, not considering all the Most High said is not wisdom at all. Let us see how all things the Most High has said work together. Isaiah 15th chapter, talking about the burden of Moab. Because in the night, R, word R means city. Same thing we see K-I-R. It also means city. In the night, R of Moab, or the city of Moab, is laid waste and brought to silence. Because in the night, Kir of Moab, the city of Moab, is laid waste and brought to silence. Well, those of you who know the scriptures, I'll go ahead and tell you where you might find much of this. You read Isaiah 48, really about the first chapter, and talk about the destruction of Babylon and Moab. Scripture talks about this city again called Kir Hares, the city of Hares. Much needs to be understood in paralleling these prophecies. Numbers 24, 14 through 17 through 19 talks about Messiah, the star of Jacob. Shall come that to destroy whatever it is that is an obstacle against Israel attaining to the conscience that is necessary to be a people worthy of the land of promise. Says he will destroy him who and whoever it is that seeks to survive or preserve the ways of a wicked city. How about a wicked way of damnation then, my brothers and sisters? Lawless ways that divide his people. For Yah has said his people must be one, and it is sin whenever they are divided. It is tribulation, trouble, wickedness, lawlessness, injustice, whenever his people are divided. And woe to whoever it is, my brothers and sisters, that will seek a partial and imperfect standard that will be against the blessing of those who would bear his name. We look at these scriptures, understanding that Isaiah 15 has to do with the prophecies that I speak of as in so many ways a foundation for all else that's written in the scriptures, so many ways and so many times spoken concerning Messiah. So much of what I have called many times in Genesis 49, the Gospel of Shiloh, the one whom the Most High said we must retain. Of whom the Most High said we must retain the expectation of the one out of Judah that is to come, maintaining the expectation of him, unto whom the gathering of the people shall be transcended, my brothers and sisters, all the unrighteousness of men. For how shall men escape the partialities of men when they retain allegiances? The partialities, the uncleanness, the leaven that was puffed up in false pride of men. I want to get on, my brothers and sisters, scriptures talking about that man being puffed up in his pride, consider himself understanding all he needs to know when there's so much more to understand. Puffed up after the vanity, what merely seems wise in his own heart according to his own purpose. Yes, my brothers and sisters, Colossians in the second chapter speaks of this. I have to ask the question. If men, after 45,000 denominations, have declared the keeping of what they call proper meat and drink, the beginning of the month, the feast days, and the Shabbat, according to the puffed up vanities of their own hearts, the leaven of their own estimation and design, should the Most High say that a feast, a Shabbat, a soul was made acceptable after all these differences, where there's not even cooperation or a mutual standard reverent unto him? Should men say that after these differences, men have kept themselves in a time of remembrance holy unto him? Oh, we got a good bit to talk about tonight. Isaiah 15:5, he says, my heart shall cry out for Moab. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I think about these scriptures so often. Some of this is written here, is written elsewhere. My heart shall cry out for Moab. Messiah himself said, how many times have I gathered you as a mother hen would have gathered her chicks, but you would not. See, my heart should cry out for more. All the men have just turned from their wicked ways that they might live. His fugitives shall flee unto Zoar when destruction was to come upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Where did Lot seek to flee? Flee unto Zoar as a heifer of 3 years, as a heifer of 3 years old, for by the mounting of Luith, which weeping shall they go up, for in the way of Horonium, they shall raise up a cry of destruction. If I had time to sit back and explain these various cities that are mentioned, it would take up a bit of time, but to understand these things rightly, it would be the most... Oh, wow, I'm looking here. It looks like we may have lost connection for a moment. Do we still have connection? I'm seeing something here saying, talking about reconnecting the server. If, who's listening? I see Mama B out there, shining light. Whoever's out there that can tell me real quick, can you still hear me? Okay, maybe we had a bad message come through, or maybe it wasn't quite proper from BDR. Lotto. In the book of Amos, third chapter, it talks about a plan the Most High has, whereby his people shall be brought to one agreement, one understanding. Talks about something that will ultimately occur also, again, it says, at a city. Whereby the cries of what goes forth from that city shall go forth to all the palaces. Principalities, if you will, of the whole earth. That men shall know, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High is about to redeem and take back unto himself, and is taking back to himself what belongs to him. There's a website where I explain so much of what I'm talking about here, hiddengospel.com, an article there called Secret City Prophecies. Please examine it, my brothers and sisters, please. For as much as I will be allowed to say tonight, there's so much more concerning this that is also there. I'd just like to tap on a few ideas as much as is allowed in the time we have available to understand the parallels. 15:6, for the waters of Nimrod shall be desolate. The hay is withered away, the grass faileth, and there is no green thing. Most High talks about the drying up of the rivers in Isaiah 44. Did you hear me? In Isaiah 44, going through 45, and it talks about ultimately awakening the people beyond the shallow mindscapes. I said shallow mindscapes of the variant rulers. It also talks about, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High has already said that the nations that will not hearken to him shall perish. It talks about drying up the rivers, drying up the pools. It talks about ultimately causing men to know, seeing the turmoil is in the midst of all nations, that the blessing of all things necessary for any goodness to come must come from the Most High. Isaiah 45 speaks of it. It's the Most High, my brothers and sisters, that either allows blessing or hardship. Woe then, my brothers and sisters, to those who would strive with the Maker. Most High has a plan, my brothers and sisters. Revelation 6, 12th verse, talks about a great earthquake. And we're really talking about a great earthquake that occurs at a city. Read Revelation 16, 12 to 21. And understand why the kings are running for cover. Saying, hide us from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne. Most High has not been pleased that men have sworn by his name, not in truth nor in righteousness. Isaiah 48 speaks of it. It's quite apparent, my brothers and sisters, there's a reason why Revelation 7:2, it says, one called an angel like the rising sun. The king of the east that is mentioned in Revelation 16:12. King of the east, rising sun, angel, same word as king. Will say, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed, confirmed who are the servants of Yah upon their brows. It means, my brothers and sisters, that according to a pure and perfect term, to a perfect testimony, when Scripture says such things, then kings would be as dust before his sword and driven stubble to his bow. Out of his mouth come a sharp tool, as his sword, which he should smite the nations. He should discipline them with a rod of iron. What it means, after a pure, perfect word, according to all that truth of the Most High that the nation sought to deny, he will discern, my brothers and sisters, who it is that will serve Yah and who will serve him not. Malachi 3:18-4:2 says, you discern the difference between those who serve Yah and those who serve him not. One called the Son of Righteousness shall arise. It was said with healing upon his lips. Who is it, my brothers and sisters, realize that the healing, the complete restoration of all things the Most High has declared, that men, my brothers and sisters, might see beyond the afflictions that divide our people. See beyond all the partialities, all the uncleanness, every deception, my brothers and sisters, keeps men from being able to perceive. Oh, my brothers and sisters, you had the copy of the Aramaic, the 19th chapter of Isaiah. You need to understand when the scriptures talk about that city of destruction, whose destruction will bring about world peace and bringing the world under discipline. You need to understand, my brothers and sisters, what it says in Aramaic at 19:1-5. And see why it talks about the one called the King of the Medes, who the scriptures ultimately call the destroyer of Moab, in the book of Jeremiah. My brothers and sisters need to understand why the Most High will bring an end to all the variant confusions of man, that in perceiving what is absolution, men might be delivered from all those who would lead the people to fallen, foolish, deceptive standards for which the Most High cannot be pleased. So the grass faileth. Hay is withered away. What about how much that sound like the scripture in Isaiah 40? The grass withers, the flower fades, and all flesh is the grass, is as the grass. But all eyes shall see the glory of the Most High, for the mouth of the Most High has spoken it. Compare these scriptures, my brothers and sisters, to Isaiah 40 and understand who is that one called the righteous one, like the rising sun, for whom men should be waiting, that they discern beyond the rulers of the world who have divided the people of the Most High, that we might become again a strong people. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time to understand the real meaning of these things. In the 16th chapter, I'm stepping down a little bit, 16th chapter of Isaiah, because there are many things that are written here about a lot of history that we go back and look at a lot of things, believing the Hebrews knew their history. We're talking about all these things that happened in these various places, Dimon, Eglim, Beryllium, Heronium, Luith. We understand much that is related, but I'd like to get to this point. And I know if I went to that, we'd never finish all that needs to be said. For those who would like to know more about these things, hey, contact me, hiddengospel.com. There's access also to my email address, hiddengospelsite@yahoo.com. Those who want to know a little bit more about this deeper examination, as these scriptures here reverberate what's also, or let's just say Yirmiyahu, what he said between the 48th and the 49th chapter, so much of a reverberation of these same words. Huh. 16:1, send ye the lamb. How about a tribute lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah, the rock city of the wilderness. Hear me. Aramaic says, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. Sound like this city that we speak of here. Isaiah 42 speaks of the same. Oh, I wish I had time to go through all of that. Talks about a city from which men shall go from that city to the mount of the daughter of Zion. Over and over again, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures speak. Isaiah 24 speaks of it. Isaiah 25 speaks of it. Messiah traveling and bringing his people from a city of destruction, or land of confusion, to establish a city of peace. Why don't they tell you about this? If they don't tell you the plan that the Most High has for escape and deliverance beyond the illusions of man. How should you be delivered, my brothers and sisters? If in all your life, since the Most High says we must be complete, fully furnished unto all good works, if men didn't know who Messiah said he is, when he said he's the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, how should men say that that testimony has been good for the Most High? Especially since men have not understood the implications, by and large, of that phrase in Revelation 22:16. If men have not known what is the gospel of Shiloh, if men have not known the secret city prophecies, will their testimony before the Most High be called a good work? If they discern these things and are not compelled to shed forth that light, knowing that men must have these things to be saved, shall they be called true unto him? Isaiah 16:2, it shall be that as a wandering bird cast out his nest, so shall the daughters of Moab be at the fords of Arnon. Fords of Arnon, my brothers and sisters, was a little small stream that they could pass out from the land that were considered wilderness into the land of promise. I'd like to consider this verse. You consider this verse. So when all these things occurred, finally at 16:5. Wow, only 12 minutes. So much more. And in mercy shall a throne be established, and he, who is the he, shall sit upon it in truth, and the tabernacle of David, a judge who seeks judgment, justice, and hastens righteousness. Again, we see the scenario about moving from a city of wickedness and confusion to establish a city of peace. Zephaniah speaks the same thing, saying the just Lord, a righteous one, is in the midst of a wicked city, but the wicked know no shame. And because they would not hearken, Scripture talks about the destruction not only of that city, but casting forth a warning shot and a message to the whole world. The time of man considering himself wise in his indiscriminate thoughts are over. For the Most High, with a pure testimony, even the gospel of the kingdom, will decide whose allegiance and whose conscience and drive for truth is found worthy before Yah. Scripture says, to whom shall he teach knowledge? To whom shall he make to understand the report? Brothers and sisters, we live in a society that won't even talk about the implications of so many of these things. So that when they are spoken, men refusing to recognize how little they've been taught, how much they've been oftentimes hoodwinked, conned by men who never had an intention to tell you the truth, just have simply dealt with men very treacherously and left them for a long time, for ages, for generations, without knowledge. There's a need, my brothers and sisters, to seek the greater reality. What are these scriptures about? Well, I've said before to you at Luke 17:20, Messiah was asked the question. Listen to the question, my brothers and sisters, closely. Luke 17, 10 minutes, got to move quickly, 17:20, and the scripture says he was demanded of the Pharisees. The Pharisees demanded of him to know the answer, when the kingdom of Yah would come. He answered, the kingdom of Yah cometh not with observation. I will only tell you that the word for kingdom, there's a Greek word, basileia, there's another word, basileus. There are times that men have not understood that you don't have the kingdom till you have a king. And these words have oftentimes been used or translated indiscriminate. What the Messiah was actually saying was that the kingdom of Yah comes when comes the king. And it says, kingdom of Yah does not come by observation. What he was saying is this, that the Son of Man, not everyone will see to discern it is him easily. What does Scripture say? The just Lord is in the midst of the city, but the people know no shame. The wicked, those who have never heard the truth, know no shame. I'm talking about Zephaniah 3, 1 through 5. Scripture says, because of this just one, Israel shall speak no lies, do no iniquity. 3:13. They shall discern what indeed is the righteousness of Yah. 17:20. These shall say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of Yah. How about the prince? He said, in that day, just like it is now, prince of Yah, they put within you. Was the kingdom of Yah within those who resisted knowing the truth? No. That word for within, the word among, is the same. The word for kingdom there is talking about the prince himself, even the king. He said the prince and the king is among you, but did they truly want to discern him as who he said that he is? And he said to them, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. You will not see it. You ever stop to consider that while men lack discerning the light, they also lack the light of discerning how Messiah shall appear? Because many will refuse to acknowledge the fact that they've fallen away from the light into the darkness. He said they will, and they shall say to you, see here, see there, go not after them, follow them not. Talking about for a long time, this is the way it shall be. But hear me, my brothers and sisters, Scripture says Messiah will come forth in Isaiah 49, saying, listen to me, O isles, hearken to me, O ye nations. The Most High is calling from the womb, from the body of my mother, as they made mention of not my name, to bring Israel back to him, to reveal his glory. What it means, my brothers and sisters, for a long time, Messiah would not be present. But did you hear the Scripture say, from the body of my mother, as they made mention of my name? Read those Scriptures, Isaiah 49, 1 through 10, and read it relative to Revelation 6, 12, particularly 16 and 17 verses, and realize that is Latter-day prophecy. What Scripture says, behold my servant, one who will finally bring forth the gospel and righteousness of the kingdom. It says, behold my servant, my elect and my soul delight. I put my spirit upon him. And he shall bring forth justice to the nations. Believe me, the ancients understood that Messiah, I hope you hear me, my brothers and sisters, is not so much the body that men see, but the spirit, the eternal spirit of righteousness that is within him. Who, my brothers and sisters, is willing to, in all things concerning these things, understand. It appears that prayerfully I may have been able to give myself a little bit more time to see how it works out. New interface here. Blog talk in terms of controlling that sort of thing. Maybe I have the ability to do it after all. Well, let's just say control this interface to bring it to bear. He says, here, my brothers and sisters, he says in the 17th chapter, 24th verse, as the lightning, that's where they translate your King James Version, as the lightning lightens out of the one part of the heaven and shines unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in this day. One scripture says, is it also in the book of Micah, called Matthew, says the lightning shines out of the east even unto the west, so shall become the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, my brothers and sisters, there will be a sudden message that all the world shall suddenly recognize. One scripture in Isaiah says, Messiah will say, you who are near, see what I've done. You are far off, acknowledge my might. What is the light, my brothers and sisters, that shines out of the east, even unto the west, but the rising sun? Sun that suddenly rises, my brothers and sisters, and shows forth the light of a day, a new day, a new age. A time of light, my brothers and sisters, rather than darkness. Isaiah 24, 10 through 16 relates it that way. It says, in the last days, when the righteous one appears, their cry from the majesty of the Most High, from the west, even unto the east. The same thing is said in Isaiah 59, talking about the time when the righteousness of Yah shall be declared unto the world, that men should no longer ever again forget. He says, his righteousness, the covenant that he's put in the mouths of his people, shall not depart from the mouths of his people, from henceforth, from their descendants, even their descendants, henceforth, even forever. Isaiah 59, 19 through 21. But compared, my brothers and sisters, the scripture says the Most High has called someone that he calls his shepherd. One who he said he would establish Jerusalem upon a firm foundation, Isaiah 44:20-45:6. Scripture says, because of his testimony, he will prove foolish the testimony of the rulers, that men might be delivered, because as long as men believe the lies of the rulers, brothers and sisters, they are not yet free. To escape Babylon, man must consider all that Yah said to escape the confusion. Again, my brothers and sisters, we must partake of pure bread, a pure doctrine under the Most High, by no means tainted by any of the misconceits of this world. A true life, my brothers and sisters, nourishing that endures, even as must or does unleavened bread. That we be found worthy, my brothers and sisters, unto life in a kingdom eternal. But how many, my brothers and sisters, have realized that what is said at Isaiah 44:20 is reflected at 1 Corinthians 3:18-4:5? Is reflected, my brothers and sisters, concerning Messiah coming for those times when there will be a blotting out of sin. Blotting out, my brothers and sisters, of man's allegiances to all those things that have divided the people of the Most High. The people, my brothers and sisters, will be called by his name, that if ever they are a divided people after differences of opinion, the Most High has called it sin. Since I've given myself a little bit of extra time, I'd like to look for a moment to consider, as soon as we get a chance to, after looking at these scriptures in Luke 17, to look again at what I just told you, at Acts 3:18-23, 1 Corinthians 3:18. How about 4 and 5? Compared to those scriptures in Isaiah 44:20-45:6, really, all the way out to, if we, I know we're not going to have that opportunity, but I just tell you, I really need to read it all the way out to 46:13. Understand who Messiah said that he is when he says the written offspring of David, the bright morning star. Comparing those scriptures to Isaiah 11, like I told you, all these things on my website, hiddengospel.com, that article called The Secret City Prophecies, you truly need to know. That article, my brothers and sisters, on my website called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. What was the mutual expectation of the early church? For Rome sought to silence the knowledge of these things. If today men have not known these things, my brothers and sisters, have they been complete unto all good works? Believe me, ancient Rome, Roman Empire, even their unholy Roman Church, has told men that they are good if these things they forget. But my brothers and sisters, Israel is commanded to remember. Yes, do you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Israel is commanded to remember. And remember, my brothers and sisters, the righteous ones of Yah will do. Says, as the lightning shines out of one part of heaven and shines to the other part, so shall it also be the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24 says the same. And how many of my brothers and sisters have understood the riddle? They say, first, Messiah must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. I got news for you. Zephaniah 3 says he'll be rejected also in a latter generation before he comes to his glory. Read Zephaniah 3 and understand. It said, as it was in the days of Noah, before the flood came, so it should be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, everybody planning their own way, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they sowed, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained what? Fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Didn't we just read something about this? It's scripture that sounds so much of a parallel to this back in Genesis 19. So even thus it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Remember those scriptures in Revelation 6:12 talking about a great earthquake? Kings then running for cover. How about an earthquake that happens at a city? Kings running for cover because they know time is up. Scriptures talk about the king will be running for cover, saying, hide from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne, for the day of his wrath is coming. Who should be able to stand? Our brothers and sisters, who should be able to stand when they find out that they didn't even have the foundation upon which to comprehend? My brothers and sisters, it's only those who will gather quickly the knowledge of those things that men have not considered, that men have sought to hide, that will be able to stand up, my brothers and sisters, and continue to stand. In that day, he which shall be on the housetop and his stuff on the house, let him not come down and take it away. He is in the field, let him likewise not turn back. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life, seek to preserve the way of life after this world, seek to preserve the ways of a wicked city, wicked social orientation, shall lose it. Whoever shall lose his life, how about for the sake of the truth of the gospel of the kingdom? The truth of the kingdom of Yah, which transcends and will reprove all the nations. What does it say in the book of Micah? How about Most High from Jerusalem will rebuke nations afar off. Men will say, come, let us go up to the mount of the house of the Most High. We will learn of his ways and walk in his paths. In these scriptures, my brothers and sisters, if we continue, they asked the question in Luke 17:37. They answered, they asked him, what it really is, and said to him, where? Asking the Savior, where will all these things be? What do you say, wherever the body is, wherever the carcass is? They put down in your Bible eagles, but believe me, the word there in the Hebrew for eagles, you ever notice how eagles, you ever see them flying, and eagles and vultures flying, and how, unless you look at them very closely, at their silhouette, might be a little bit difficult to discern the difference. Wherever the body is, wherever the carcass is, there where the vultures gather, please, my brothers and sisters, examine sometime Isaiah 34. It talks about a time when his wrath, his anger, his indignation shall be against all the nations for having lied to his people, kept his people blinded in the darkness of men's own selfish ambitions and purposes. The scriptures talk about the same thing. Well, the carcass is there where the vultures gather. Please read Isaiah 34 and understand how Messiah shall be revealed. If you knew in advance that the Most High is going to render recompense upon this world as an initial signal to a world, I didn't say suddenly bringing destruction upon a whole world, but first upon a city to warn the world. If you understood that the Most High is not pleased with the confusions of all the nations, would you not know? My brothers and sisters, if you knew, the Most High is not pleased with the confusion of all the nations. If you knew the Most High is not pleased with the confusion of all the nations, my brothers and sisters, would you not know also that you have to exceed this confusion? What did he say? Your righteousness must exceed that of your rulers. Are the rulers one? No. You must exceed the divisions, the partialities, that with Yah, you become one. This is the deliverance. This is the victory. Even attaining the truth of the nations have all sought to hide. What do you mean, wherever the carcass is, that vultures gather? It's talking about that city, my brothers and sisters, that so much prophecy speaks of in so many ways likewise at Revelation 19:11-21. Scripture's also speaking of something in the same wise in Ezekiel, talking about calling forth all the fowls of the air to take of the of captains and kings and rulers, men small and great. A great destruction, my brothers and sisters, brought about. For the Most High might set his people free. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. How about petition the Most High to just become complete unto all good works, and not to faint, not to fall short, not to become weary in seeking the exceeding truth? What he's saying, there was a city, a judge, which feared not Yah, nor regarded men. He exalted himself above all things. Kind of sounds like Daniel 11. There was a widow in that city, it's a parable. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Whoever would not would deal, who dealt with her unjustly. And he would not for a while. He didn't care about justice. Afterward, he said within himself, I will, though I fear not Yah nor regard man, yet because his will continues to trouble me. In other words, you constant petition the Most High for what is good. Even the wicked king says, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she will, how about vex him? Come wearisome to him. The Most High said, even Messiah said, here, in this case, what the unjust judge said. And shall not Yah avenge his own elect? He says he called his people unto understanding. The election is unto understanding. Those who begin to understand there's a higher righteousness that must be attained. Shall not Yah avenge his elect who come when coming to understanding, hold to a great understanding, which day and night cry unto him, though he bear along with them. Please, some of you, examine Isaiah 26, 7 through 13. Talking about those who desired him in the night, they will understand in that day. But the wicked, those who cared not, neither regarded men, if you will, same thing, regarding neither Yah nor men. He said the wicked will not understand, but they will finally understand when they see what is the Most High and his zeal for the cause of his people. So I tell you, the Most High will avenge his own speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Shall find men knowing that they have to seek a truth and a righteousness that to transcend the contradictions of man? Shall men say they have faith in Yah after the multitude of these differences? You say he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves and saw them wise in themselves, wise and prudent after their own hearts. Check out sometimes Isaiah 5, 20 through 26. There are many who say they performed all that is necessary as good before the Most High according to their own estimation. What did the Apostle Shaul say? He said he desired that you should know this mystery, that blindness in part has befallen Israel while scattered among the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles, time of this confusion, time of this mass illusion, time of this lack of knowledge should come to an end. Romans 11, 25 through 27. You really read it all the way up to 12 and 4. And realize how much it compares to Isaiah 59, 19 through 21 and the 40th chapter of Isaiah, saying that when the Most High brings an end to the confusion, then shall his people be free. They shall see beyond their transgressions, see beyond their sins, see beyond the separations and divisions of foolish pride that has divided them. There are many, my brothers and sisters, who see themselves as righteous, as complete. And rather than desiring that all Israel should see the light in their own treachery against the greater truth, are refusing to see more. They prefer that all remain in the darkness, that they exalt themselves. Woe to those, my brothers and sisters, who would lie against the Most High, would scheme against the greater truth of the Most High, that they exalt themselves. I promise you, my brothers and sisters, such as these will never in such unrighteousness partake in a covenant with the Most High. In fact, they made league with devils. Who else do you think it is that seeks to keep people blinded, deviant, partial in the law, treacherous against the fullness of what the Most High calls a covenant? Who do you think it is, my brothers and sisters, that seeks to hide their iniquity, their injustice, under robes of seeming righteousness? Please read Malachi 2. Such as these, my brothers and sisters, are those who have said that though men walk after all manner of evil and deviant ways, they've said they're somehow good in the sight of the Most High. Whole. The word good means whole and complete. Acceptable in the sight of the Most High, and that even he delights in what? These corruptions? As if the Most High would never sin one who will judge mankind according to all that is righteous, judgments, all that is appeasing and pleasing unto the Most High with a heart full unto his purpose. As if the Most High would never send one who would establish the kingdom of Yah. As if the Most High is always pleased with all the differences that we see in these times of the Gentiles, these times of confusion, every man walking according to what seems good in his own heart. Scripture says he's going to reprove all these leaders. Isaiah 41 says it. Malachi 3 says it. He's going to purge out the sons of Levi. It means he's not going to leave anybody, my brothers and sisters, who won't seek the fullness of his righteousness. He's not going to leave anyone, my brothers and sisters, who would just cause men not to seek the fullness of what is divine ordinance. He's not going to leave anyone who robs both man and Yah after falling stand as if there's nothing more to be perceived. Scripture said again and again, all these will be done. By what? Malachi says, the Lord whom you seek. How about the scripture says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Who is that righteous one from the east, the righteous one like the rising sun who comes suddenly to cast out the darkness? Who is that one the scriptures talk about in Malachi 4 and 2? One called the Son of Righteousness that suddenly arises. There's a comparison there, my brothers and sisters, that needs to be understood. Revelation 16th chapter says, "He blessed are they who keep their garments, lest they walk naked and men see their shame." Malachi, go back around 2:16, talks about those who hide their iniquity in the robes. My brothers and sisters, Most High is about to take his name back from all those who would abuse it. He said, you shall not take his name in vain. You shall not associate his name with any fallen standard. Therefore, you must seek the fullness of his will. Anything else, my brothers and sisters, is an insult and disrespect. So man say that after disrespect, irreverence, that he has praised Yah? Why do the scriptures say, my brothers and sisters, why is it written that when Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered, to expose, if you will, the systems of darkness, to reveal the truth the men have hid, it says, then will men know how to praise Yah. Is because, my brothers and sisters, while men consider themselves good, whole, and complete, at the various standards that rulers have said were sufficient to appease the will of men, my brothers and sisters, men, to praise, though they've said they've used the holy name, what does scripture say? They called upon his name, but not in truth nor in righteousness in Isaiah 48. The Most High with this was not pleased. Read Isaiah 48 closely. It says, how can they call upon him whom they have not heard? How can they make a vow to him whose testimony they have not heard? Many just presuming themselves wise have taught all kind of corrupt doctrines, preserving all the paganisms, all the misconceits of man, and sought to put them down before men as if they were pillars of the faith. My brothers and sisters, the standards of men, the corruptions of men, the pollutions of men, not remain that we have peace. You must overcome the corruption if you're going to escape the destruction. For whatever lies, my brothers and sisters, would impede the people of the Most High, that they do not discern the greater dimensions of truth, all these uncleannesses must be overcome. You must protect yourself, unto yourself, my brothers and sisters, to your mind, heart, and soul, the engrafted word of Yah. That is the word that will save and not diminish and destroy your soul. And it's an invariant word of life, my brothers and sisters. We've, on other occasions in this show, gone through the book of Jacob that they chose to call James because they didn't want to understand that we're talking about Israel. The book they call James. It talks about the word of the Most High, the light of the Most High being an invariant word. The grass with the flower fades talks about, my brothers and sisters, that all that will not be true unto the Most High shall perish. One scripture also speaks about all that's after the flesh, the will of man, the leaven that is the will of man, it shall perish. And all flesh, all the thoughts of men are like that grass. Well, I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, there is a need to understand, again, the pure perfect word. If we deny any part of a greater word, my brothers and sisters, it is Yah that we deny. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. And understand how many times the scriptures read again and again what is necessary to discern truly what is the will, purpose of Yah, that you be found viable unto his purpose, therefore unto your hope for preservation. Zephaniah 3. Do I have time? I'll just read a couple of scriptures from it quickly because we need to go to 1 Corinthians. Zephaniah 3. Woe to her that is called a filthy and polluted and oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. The Most High sent a voice, a word, a message to her. The word for voice is also a message, even a messenger. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Most High. She drew not near. Yeah, he said, come draw unto him while he is near. Most High reveals his righteousness. Read Isaiah 55-56. In keeping the Shabbat, we seek all that is pleasing unto him, even all nations, for his house should be a house of prayer for all peoples. Talk about the city, her princes, the rulers within her are roaring lions. Her judges are like evening wolves. They only come to destroy. They gnaw not the bones till tomorrow. They leave nothing. A prophet's a light. How about they're not considerate of all things? Treacherous purpose. Treacherous persons. A priest that polluted the sanctuary. They brought in all manner of corruptions after the flesh, the carnal mind, the shallow vision of men. They've done violence against what would be peace. They've done violence against the law of the Most High. Think about it. If men feel that they are righteous, denying any of the law of the Most High, shall they be said they are worthy of the kingdom of peace when they uphold the variant, ungodly, unrighteous standards of all the nations who themselves are contentious? In other words, you uphold all the variant differences, the illusions, the short-sighted standards, the variant purposes and affiliations and designs of a multitude of contentious rulers. And you say you're ready for the kingdom of peace? The law of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, Messiah said, go forth and teach all nations everything he declared. When you talk about baptism, you talk about the idea about being purged of all the misconceits that are among the nations and all these shallow-minded allegiances, teaching everything that he declared. That is the gospel of peace. So the just Lord, the Holy One of even the Messiah himself, my brothers and sisters. Because the Lord whom you see should suddenly come to his temple. Isaiah 66:6 says the same thing. Talk about one who will reprove both city and the temple. And when all the nations know it, it says Israel. A true Israel. Isaiah 66:6 through the 15th verse, true Israel will be reborn as a nation, a strong people, as it were, suddenly in one day. Read Isaiah 24 through 27th chapter, 25th chapter, 1 through 5. My brother says, read out to 26:13 and 27:9-12, and keep on realizing how Scripture keeps talking about the destruction of a city. That will expose, and in its destruction will expose that the Most High is not pleased with this confusion. And this confusion is not the way of peace. The collaboration fused together of multitudes of contradictions is not of the Holy Spirit. See how the Most High will destroy that premise that men have felt like, hey, if they uphold the confusions of man, compromise after the differences of man, they be true to the will of one, that illusion must fall. That his people be come true to him. The men, when they swear an oath unto the Most High, they swear it in truth and in righteousness. Not just swearing oath in the Most High, but knowing him, how to perform what is acceptable unto him, even unto what the Most High says will ultimately be global peace. Isaiah 19:18-25 speaks of this. Why Chalit does not speak of it is because the confusions they uphold, my brothers and sisters, are bondage to you. The allegiance is after that which is not whole, good, holy, and all things good, complete, acceptable, and pure before the Most High. Every one of those standards is an obstacle to you because they cause you not to consider all the Most High intends. So the just one, even how about his righteous one, is in the midst thereof of the city. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. What scripture say he say in Isaiah 50? Morning by morning is the Most High caused my ear to hear the teaching, and I'm not turning back the rebellious way, that I should know how to declare a word to the weary. How about those who have forgotten the way of righteousness? What does the scripture say in Isaiah 59? The way of peace they know not. Isaiah 42, you have to lead the blind by a way that they knew not. But he says, bring forth the blind who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Those who have a mind and a heart to see the truth, though they have not formerly perceived it. That they may declare that the truth, when they hear it, is truth. That they may be called his witnesses. Read Isaiah 42, my brothers and sisters, talking about how Messiah must restore the standard into a position the Most High called honorable. After 43:15, where men finally recognize the blindness of their rulers, recognize the false comfort of those who tell them that they are perfect and complete, and that they have peace with Yah after so many partial standards. How treacherous these rulers have been to keep people in prison houses where the light could not enter, and how the Most High says he would declare, calling his people from the midst of all these standards, north, south, east, and west, unto a greater light, that he may overthrow this Babylonish confusion. Need to understand the scriptures for what all they say. It says, morning, 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 he brings his justice to light. He fails not. He doesn't teach a fallen standard, but the unjust, those who have not preferred all righteousness and seek all truth, because they simply trust in whatever shallow-minded standard their rulers teach them. They know no shame. They don't recognize their guilt, their shame, even their blindness. See, I've cut off the nations, and their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, and none passes by. Their cities are destroyed, so there's no man, and there's none inhabitant. Compare that to Isaiah 24. He said, surely they would or should have revered me, recognized my message. They should have, if you will, received instruction. That's what they should have done. How could they see so much light and truth? And choose to be blind to it. So their dwelling, they should have heard me, that their dwelling not be cut off. Therefore I punished them when they would not listen. And they rose up early. Because they rose up early, chose that in which he did not delight, compared to Isaiah 65, and remained corrupt in all their doings. Said, therefore wait upon me, said the Most High, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, and my assemble the kingdoms. How about assembling then his people? Knowing that what is about to happen on earth, what is about to happen among the nations, the great distress among the nations. He's about to pour upon all his nations, all his indignations. Blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who look to Jerusalem, the law of the Most High, the peace of the Most High, that they might be preserved. Even all his fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of his jealousy. He's going to bring his people into a pure language and pure speech, that they all who call upon his name may call upon him with one consent. 5 minutes and 40 some odd seconds. Heaven help us. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 9. Let us look at it quickly. 1 Corinthians. Wow, just a little bit of time. Maybe just enough, y'all willing. 5, 6 through 9. Whew, I'm going to have to even go back to Isaiah 52. I'm going to make all this plain. We're talking about telling these people to wipe the dust off their feet and they might escape this Babylon. The leaven of the nations, my brothers and sisters, must be overcome. We receive the gospel of the one kingdom. Some apostles said, people, that they're glorifying themselves in their own ideals is not good. Knew you not that the little leaven, after the mind of the flesh that does not consider all things spiritual, or leaven or corrupt, puff up with nothingness, the whole lump. Leavening in bread puffs it up with what? Air? Nothing? It seems like a big old thing, but the truth of the matter is that, you know, a whole lot of it is just empty air. Is that nourishment? Is that food? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, the corrupting leaven, that you may be a new lump, unleavened. How about pure after the will of Yah? Pure after his word. Pure after what is in all things nourishing and acceptable unto him. That ye are unleavened. For even Messiah himself, our Passover, sacrificed for us. In other words, he gave his life, my brother and sister, that men might transcend all the corruptions of man. Christ, obviously, said, our Passover lamb, sacrificed. Why did he give his blood? The scripture says he gave his life to be Lord of both the dead and the living. He gave his life that men might discern beyond the corruption, the leaven, the unrighteousness of those who persecuted him, that men might know to be baptized beyond the standards of men and the various rulers of the earth, that they recognize the greater righteousness that he came to reveal. Blessed are they who will understand it. Therefore, let us keep the feast. How about a feast unto the Most High, what is acceptable unto him? Not after the old or corrupting leaven, puffed up in his vanity, seeming to be much, and it is yet so little. Neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, in other words, the corruptions of men, but with the unleavened bread. How about the pure doctrine of sincerity and truth? I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, those who are double-minded after the ways of this world. They should not enter the kingdom of Yah, it is written. Colossians. Wow, don't have a lot of time. I can only tell you that in the book of Colossians, in the second chapter, the apostle related, he related the need to transcend the blindness of the principalities and powers. Wow. I got Colossians 2:16 through 18. That should have been Colossians 2:1 through 8, and then 16 through 18. That's fine. I think the points come across. He said, beware lest any man beguile the principles of the world, the corrupting leaven of this world. It is not after the truth of the righteous one, the Messiah, who will judge all men according to purity and righteousness. So you may complete in him, and didn't say after the standards of the world. You may complete unto all good works after his working by him. It didn't say after the varying standards of man, even by his spirit that teaches all things and reproves all iniquity. So when the scripture says, let no man, how about after the varying standards of this world, the principalities and powers which he proved ashamed, it says according to the earlier verses in that second chapter. He said, let not the rulers of men incomplete in their standards therefore judge you or be the ones who declare to you what is justice. Judge justice.
90 seconds.
In meat and drink, in respect of a holiday, a holy day, a new moon or the Shabbats. Because these, my brothers and sisters, the right understanding of what is complete before the Yah comes from Yah. Listen to this. The right understanding of the fullness of these things comes in Messiah, even by his spirit. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntarily giving yourself over to the worshiping of false messengers. Your pastors, my brothers and sisters, protruding into the faith, against the faith, hey, turning men into double-minded and unbelief, talking about those things which he has not seen, certainly not from Yah. In the short sight of his mind, all his imagining, what to say, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. My brothers and sisters, I pray that we will discern all things necessary to see how all things the Most High has declared work together for good and not be blinded by the variant standards of men. 29 seconds left. I can only tell you the scriptures talk about in Isaiah 59:52 about his people shaking off the dust of the nations and coming to the truth of the gospel of the kingdom of Yah. Talks about Matthew 10:11 through 15, talking about escaping
the
pollution of the nations, and even in whatever city would not hearken to the word of truth. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, the time for realization of the reality is now. I see that my time has went up, but I'm going to only tell you to look at other scriptures that speak of the same. I said Matthew 10:11 through 15 talks about wiping off the dust of your feet. That's those cities, whoever it is, that will not hear the truth. Welcome those who accept. My brothers and sisters, wipe the dust off your feet of the city and all those who will not accept into their hearts the word of truth. The day will come, my brothers and sisters, when Messiah will walk away from that city that he sought to warn. But my brothers and sisters, that day is a beginning, my brothers and sisters, because all many will not hearken till they know they must. And the world will recognize, my brothers and sisters, then what is the sovereignty of Yah. Mark 6:10 through 11 is another place. Luke 9:5 is another. Acts 13:49 through 51 is another. My brothers and sisters, how soon is that day? When no more shall there be to that city that is mentioned a warning. That city is a message toward what must be deliverance, must be salvation beyond all unclean, false doctrine, misadministration of the law, even all the nations. Until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Edom Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To his might, to his honor, his praise always, a blessed Passover in the days of unleavened bread to you all. Be made complete unto all the Most High finds, worthy unto all good works, until his precious name, my brothers and sisters, to his might, to his honor, and praise always. Hallelujah! And I thank you all again for listening. You got